Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Yvonne Smith. This is a special edition of Blog Talk Radio on the Laurie Kenny channel. This is Yvonne Smith, the normal host of Sunday Night's Late Night with a Hero. The reason for the night's special show, which will be very short, is that a newspaper article in the Washington Post reporter Lena H. Sun, and the article headline reads, this is October 18th, advocates, lawmakers see momentum for mental health reform in Congress. I think we all want mental health reform, but the article, and I'll just read parts of it. Months of deadly mass shootings are pushing mental health legislation forward in Congress, with advocates and lawmakers describing a momentum for change they haven't seen for nearly a decade. Early this month, by sheer coincidence, leaders of five advocacy groups met with the head of a powerful House committee just hours after a student opened fire in Oregon Community College. As pictures of campus flash on TV screen in his office, Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Fred Upton promised to make mental health reform a priority this fall. He told us, "We're going to work on this. Democrats and Republicans are going to work together," recalled Paul Gianfrido, the president of Mental Health America. Now, I may have mispronounced his name. This shift in prospects comes against a complicated backdrop. The politics behind mental health legislation have long been tangled up with the politics of gun control on Capitol Hill, and with little change on the latter, advocates and congressional Democrats remain reluctant to have mental health measures be seen as the sole response to escalating gun violence, in part because they don't want to perpetuate inaccurate stigmas about the mentally ill being more dangerous. Headway also has been stymied by deep disagreement over how to best change the mental health system. Families of individuals with severe mental illness usually want greater ability to intervene, including mandated treatment. Legal advocacy groups, as well as patients, emphasize prevention and early identification, better access to care, and broad civil rights protections. None of it would come cheaply, with cost almost another hurdle. But nearly 3 years after 26 children and staff members were killed at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut, a mass shooting that prompted no congressional action on either guns or comprehensive mental health legislation, enough groundwork has been laid that the latest horrors in South Carolina, Louisiana, Virginia, Oregon, Arizona, and Texas may have a collective turning point. Those of us who want reform would be fools to ignore the political moment that exists, says Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat of Connecticut. Two bills are lawmakers' prime focus as they return to Washington on Tuesday. Both are drawing increasingly bipartisan support, although their sponsors don't minimize the difficult road still ahead. The House measure was first introduced in 2013 by Representative Tim Murphy, a child psychologist, and was stalled until recently. In the Senate, a newer companion effort with Chris Murphy and Senator Bill Cassidy, a physician, is scheduled for a hearing next week. It will be the first Senate hearing on mental health since Sandy Hook. Each bill will remove barriers for Medicaid funding of mental health treatment, including a rule that blocks a patient from receiving physical and behavioral health services on the same day. They also would fund more psychiatric beds in the hospitals nationwide, establish an assistant secretary for mental health, and address privacy restrictions to help families receive more information about loved ones' conditions and treatment. During the June hearing on the House bill, Virginia State Senator Craig Deese described how the lack of such detail prevented him from helping his 24-year-old son, Gus, who had struggled with bipolar disorder. The young man turned on his father in 2013 and repeatedly stabbed him before killing himself. Even though I was the one who cared for him, I was the one who fed him, housed him, transported him, and insured him. I was not privy to that information that could clarify for me his behaviors. The house measure puts some emphasis on and provides incentives for assisted outpatient treatment, a controversial approach adopted in many states that requires patients with severe mental illness such as schizophrenia to receive treatment even when they are not hospitalized. In response to critics, Tim Murphy modified earlier language that linked that with funding for states. The Senate bill does not have parallel incentives. And that is a great part of the newspaper article, which Stone is that the Murphy bill is a wonderful thing, but we know that it's not a wonderful thing. The article does not really say that there is that we don't have consensus on this. Most of the people with lived experience, not the people who are members of the guild, being guild members, I'm talking about psychiatrists or people that make money off of people when they're in distress. They may be talking about those people, but Ms. Sun did not identify these five groups of people that are deemed to have reached some kind of consensus. They are nowhere in the article at all. There is a reference to the president of Mental Health America, but that is nothing. And I am urging people to write to the Washington Post editor to explain to them that there is not that overall consensus. And if you want to get more information about talking points, talking to the Washington Post, you should go to realmhchange.org. That's realmhchange.org. This website is not associated with this radio show, but they have made some valid points. And if you go to that realmhchange.org, the biggest one is that the whole impetus for this bill has been because of the shootings, and there is no correlation between persons with mental illness labels being dangerous. In fact, most of us know that that is not the case, that people with mental illness are not any more dangerous than anyone else. So I would urge you to go to realmhchange.org and also to check out the full article that Ms. Sun has written, Advocates, Lawmakers See Momentum for Mental Health Reform in Congress. We know that this bill takes away valuable civil and human rights protections for all individuals. Anyone can find themselves in a situation, unlike what the article says. The article states serious mental illness like schizophrenia. Anyone who has a label will be subject to assisted outpatient treatment being incarcerated in a mental health institution. Unlike jails, when people go to mental health institutions, they do not have a time certain that they will be there. And I just want
to do something. Because Adam Lanza and the other people who have nowhere to go, who have not gotten treatment, who have not gotten a diagnosis, are out there dying with their rights on. Are you kidding me? Who have not gotten a diagnosis. Dying with their rights on. Are you kidding me? I have seen too many of my patients die. Adam Lanza and the other people who have nowhere to go, who have not gotten treatment, who have not gotten a diagnosis. Dying with their rights on. Are you kidding me? I have seen too many of my patients die.
And that was a clip from Congressman Murphy, who is the author of the, I should say, not author, but he is the person who introduced the bill. Many of the provisions in the bill mimic efforts put forth by the Treatment Advocacy Center. But Congressman Murphy really seems to have no respect for the rights of disabled people and is using this these unfortunate killings to take away rights of disabled people. Please check out the Washington Post article. And I want to bid you a good night. Let's see, I'm getting some message on there. On November 1st, we will have Oryx Cohen on from the National Empowerment Center, and he will speak to this. I have invited the writer of the article on our show as well for that date. She has not accepted yet. Thank you very much.